Mark chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 13 and we'll read 13 through 16. And we'll deal specifically with mostly verse 13 this morning. And they brought young children to him, that is to Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms. What a sight that must have been.
Yeah.
I hope in heaven I get to see Jesus holding a baby, holding a little child. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them. Dear God, again, we come to you and to your word. Help us today to receive this and understand it, be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage deals specifically with the faith of a child and how the faith of a child and the characteristics of a child are needed for salvation. And I believe another application that we'll see this evening is that we also have to remain somewhat like that after we get saved. Now, the Bible tells us that when it comes to our growth in Christ, that we are to not to stay babes, that we need to be able to grow and be able to handle more spiritual things and all that, but that we should always desire the sincere milk of the Word. But I think that there are some aspects, some characteristics of children that are not only required whenever we get saved, but even after we get saved. And we'll look at that this evening as this passage talks about the faith of a child. But before we do, as I was looking this over and sat down with all intentions of preaching on the faith of a child, and I couldn't get past verse 13. I got to... even through the week, you know, what I normally try to do is at the beginning of the week, I'll kind of do a little bit of reading on where we're going to be. And then through the week while I'm doing other things, I'm turning the sermon over in my head and thinking about different verses and different things that we need to touch on and everything. And all week I thought it was going to be the faith of a child. And then when I sat down to kind of fill it in and everything, I realized it's awful hard to get past verse 13. So before we get to the faith of a child, let's deal with bringing our children to Jesus. And then tonight we'll make an application, not just with children, but tonight we'll deal with bringing any lost person to Jesus. Scripture has one interpretation. That means it only means one thing. But a verse can have many different applications. Scripture, God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. But one verse, even though it has one interpretation, it only means one thing. That one thing can be applied multiple ways in our lives and in multiple areas and situations. So this morning, what I want to look at in verse number 13, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them." Let's begin with, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them." I'm absolutely 100% convinced, and you'll never change my mind on this, that the greatest thing you can do for your child is to bring them to Jesus. There's an old saying that says you can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make him drink. You can lead your children to Christ, but you can't make them get saved. But how greater will their opportunity be if you've brought them face to face with him than if you left them down the road where they can't even make out his figure? You cannot guarantee your child's or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew, or whoever the young person is in your life. You say, "Pastor, I don't have any children." But you probably know people that do. Or you know some parents that someday might need to be instructed in this. And you need to help them. So we all need to learn this and understand this. So when I talk about bringing children to Christ, I'm not only talking to parents that are raising young children right now. I'm talking to everybody. I believe the scripture is talking to everybody. The greatest thing that you can do for your child is to bring them to Christ. We don't know anything else about these parents. We don't know what their home life is. We don't know how they've raised their children to this point. We don't even know how old the children are. We can tell that they are young children. I mean, I'm sure Christ is not going to take a 15-year-old up in his arms, though he could if he wanted to. But it says young children, so we assume that that's still pretty young. We don't know the exact age. We don't have to know. But here's what we know about these parents. We might not know much about their home life. We might not know much about how they've raised their children to this point. But we know at this point, right here, these are good parents. These are honorable parents. Even if they have lived rotten up until now, at this point, they see a man unlike any other man, and their desire is to take their children to that man and put him in their hands. You know, we do a thing. I don't know if it's been done here. Looking around, I mean, when was the last time a baby was born into this church? Most of the kids here are older kids, so it's probably been a while since a baby was born here. I don't know that. It hasn't been one since I came. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon unless somebody has some news to share with us. But I don't know how Faith Baptist has done this in the past. But something that we have done with our children is we would do a baby dedication. And you all probably know about that. Maybe it's been done here before. It's not a baptism. Okay, we don't sprinkle them. It's not a christening. It doesn't save them. All a baby dedication is parents standing up before the church and saying, God gave us this child. We're thankful. And we want to give this child back to Him so that He'll raise this child for His glory and help us be good parents to this child. That's all it is. There's no spiritual power endued whenever you do it. It's just parents getting up and saying publicly, thank you, God, for this child. Help us to raise this child effectively for you. That's all it is. Okay? Parents, the greatest thing they can do is to bring their children unto Jesus. Now, the problem is, I mean, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6 that we should train up a child in the way he should go. Okay, it is our duty and our responsibility to teach our child. I mean, from the moment that they don't even have to be able to understand. When they're babies, sing hymns to them. When they're babies, quote scripture to them. How do we teach a child how to talk? Repetition. They hear it, they hear it, they hear it. What better way to teach your child the Word of God and about God? You say, oh, but he's 3 months old. You want him to learn how to say mommy and daddy, don't you? Don't you want him to get saved someday? Read the Bible to him. I mean, look, he doesn't know the difference between that and green eggs and ham anyhow, right? What's he? He just comforted by your voice. Start out from day one. Familiarize your children with the Word. Take them to Jesus. Bring your children to Jesus. You say, oh, but my kids are older now and I didn't do that. Well, then do it today. You say, oh, but hey, they're out. They're out on their own now. Take them to Him in prayer. You say, my kids are out. They've got their own kids now. I've never brought them to Jesus and now they're gone. That opportunity is gone. No, it isn't. Take them to Christ in prayer. And tell Him, God, I'm sorry I didn't bring them earlier, but I'm bringing them to you now. Mention your children in prayer. But Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. And when people have unsaved kids, it's a shame the way that some parents raise those children nowadays. Have you noticed Have you noticed what parents will dedicate themselves to and what they will take their children to nowadays? I mean, we're willing to take that child to ball practice. We're willing to take that child and pay money for them to be in the ball leagues. Money that a lot of times we don't have. We're willing to take them to baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, choir practice, gymnastics. I hope you don't, but gymnastics, that's what a lot of people do. Let's get down home here a little bit. We're willing to take them out into the woods and teach them everything they need to know about tracking down a deer. And the best times of day to fish and catch the best fish in the world. We're willing to dedicate hey, honey, you know, let's try to get a boat. You realize how much fishing the kids and I always could do with a boat. Let's get a boat. And look, some of these things are fine in moderation. But what we're talking about today is parents who dedicate themselves to raising their children only on those things. I think it's sad, you know, we have those goofy, those people on the back of our van, you know, those little stick families, you know, we have those. Amy wanted some, Alex got her some for Christmas. We're all on there, and Clayson, he's still a baby on the back of the van. He's still crawling around. We have Hutch, we just never did put him on there. But anyhow, we have those little people on there, and a lot of people have, but now they're just getting crazy. I've seen them that look like Star Wars and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's kind of sad to pull up behind a car that has those, and all the kids are in sports uniforms, and the dad's in a sports uniform. Well, that tells me about that family. That tells me what's important to that family. You know, football dad and soccer mom, and I mean, you see bumper stickers, you know, my kid is, you know, this, and they got their kid's jersey number on there. And again, sports are, they're fun. They're all right in moderation. But when a family becomes so obsessed with it, that's what it's about, or the choir program, or band rehearsals, or whatever it might be. People will spend money and they'll dedicate themselves to that and raise their children on that, and their kids are just consumed with it, and they're consumed with it, and what for? The chances of your child making it to the majors, the chances of your child even making it to the minors, look, the chances of your kid even playing for the Terre Haute Rex are pretty slim. And you just have to be a college player to play for the Rex. You don't have to be all that great. Chances of your kid making it to the NBA or the NFL draft. A chance of your kid making a living out of being a hunting guide. Brother Dwayne's going to fulfill that one day when he retires. What are the chances? What are the chances that a pro sports scout is going to come looking for your kid? I mean, very few of us have even know of somebody that's happened to. And if we do, it's some kid in our town that it was in the paper. And it doesn't happen that often. What are the chances that Hollywood or whoever, the record company, is going to come chasing down your kid? We got to sign you to a record deal because you're the best we've ever heard. What are the chances of that? I realize the way music is going, those chances are a lot greater now because there's, you know, I mean, I could make a record of Hutch singing and I think it would sell nowadays. I get that. What are the chances? People just pour time and money and effort and Pastor, we won't be here Wednesday night. We got a ball game. Nobody has said that to me. I'm not mocking anybody in this church. Hey, been missing you on Sunday mornings. Haven't seen you on Sunday mornings for about a month now. Well, we got tournaments. Got those tournaments. But when will they go to the coach and say, hey, we're going to miss Wednesday night's game. We got church. Look, what I'm saying is this. These parents brought their children to Jesus, and nowadays parents more and more and more are taking their children to the world and giving them to the world and sacrificing them to the world. And there's very little chance that a pro ball team's going to come knocking, that a record company's going to come knocking, that a modeling company is going to come knocking. But let me tell you what, your child will absolutely 100% stand before Christ Jesus one day. They will stand before God Almighty, either as their Savior or their judge. So we have to say, they're going to stand before God. I need to do everything I can to make sure they're ready for that day. Amen. I can pour time, I can pour money, I can pour effort, I can pour energy into making sure that he hits the ball just right, or that he holds that gun just right. Knowing that it's never going to be more than just a hobby. Or I can do everything that I can possible. Everything to bring my child before the throne of God. Yes, it's his decision, but I can bring him there face to face with Christ because I know one day he's going to have to answer to him, either as his Savior or his judge. Go with me back to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs oftentimes is regarded as a wonderful book for young people to read, and it is. It is. But I think we overlook it as a wonderful book for parents to read. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's just look at a few verses here in these first... pardon me. First few chapters. Chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, here's a father talking to his son. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Not, my son, listen to my instruction on how to slide into home. My son, listen to my instruction on how to play that guitar just right. Again, some of these things are okay. Look, my family and I play. But those instruments are not what we're about. Boys get out and throw the baseball and football around every now and then. And if you could see how bad they are at it, you'd know why we play instruments. Because I'm bad at it. I played basketball 7th, 8th, and part of my 9th grade year. I didn't get kicked off the team. I just realized I'd rather be in the woods shooting squirrels. So I quit the team. And you know what? They didn't even miss me. They didn't. It's like I was never there. And I didn't miss them either. I'm not saying you ought to quit. There's nothing wrong with some of these things. But where? How much dedication are they getting from us? Verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Son, don't hang out with sinners. Don't hang out with the wrong kind of people. Chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Son, seek after God. Get in God's word. Understand God's word, because that's what's going to save your soul, is knowing how to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Seek that out. Son, don't camp out the night before to get Super Bowl tickets. Spend the night in the word. Spend the night in prayer. That's what matters. We go to chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I'll trade that for 10 home runs any day. I'll trade that for being MVP any day. I'll trade that for anything that the world has to offer. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When was the last time you told your kids that they could trust in God and to trust in God? To take things to God in prayer. Chapter 4, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Look here in Proverbs. Oh, look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Solomon is saying over and over and over and over again, son, seek God. Find the word. And read it and meditate upon it and understand God's will for your life. He's regarded as the wisest man that ever lived. You know how he got that way? By a long list of mistakes. Read Ecclesiastes and he'll tell you. Read Ecclesiastes and he'll say, that was vanity, that was vanity, that was vanity, that was vanity. The only thing that matters is God. And then he comes to his child and says, son, the only thing that matters is God. Have you brought your children, you can go back to Mark chapter 10, have you brought your children to Jesus? If not, where are you taking them? Your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews and cousins, where are you taking them? Say, oh, pastor, does that mean we just never leave the house and we don't let them do anything? No. Look, entertainment, if it's clean, wholesome entertainment and it's not sinful, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of it, nothing wrong with recreation. Like I said, nothing wrong with sports and hunting and fishing and things like that. And boy, I'm glad there's not. It's your priority. It's where you place it. Is that what defines you? Is that how you're raising your children? To be all about those things. And like I said, some will take their kids everywhere. They won't take them to God. Let me ask you this question. These parents here brought their young children to him. We don't know how many of these children end up getting saved. They had to get to a point where they made a decision of their own to get saved, but these parents started them on the right path. Okay. You set out for my house. If I just come up to you and you've never been to my house and you don't know where it is, and Brother Randy and Sister Rhonda aren't around for you to ask directions, and I come up to you and I say, hey, come out and visit, and I just leave it there. Well, now you've got... It's going to be pretty hard for you to come and visit. But I say, hey, come and visit. Here's how you get there. You go up here, and then you turn here, and then you go around here and turn there, and then this house. And... See, I've just led you to my house. You're the one that has to make the trip, but I have told you how to get there. Everybody has to make their own decision on whether or not they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. But we can make that trip a whole lot easier by telling our children how to get there. Bring them to Jesus. You cannot save your child. You can't ensure that your child's going to get saved. And after they get saved, you can't ensure that they're never going to do anything wrong. But if you knew that there was a way to, and I know this is, can I use betting language? If there was a way to increase the odds or stack the deck in your favor, I know that's bad, but I watch Westerns. If you're going to increase the odds or stack the deck in the favor of your children getting saved, if you knew there was a way to do that, to make it more likely, wouldn't you do it? Bring your child to Jesus. Bring your child to Christ. Pray for them. Read them the Bible. Teach them the Bible. Encourage them to be in the Bible. Bring them to a Bible preaching church. I know of one if you're looking. Bring them to a place where the other people that they're around, the other parents, are trying to do the same thing. So you can get some help from one another. Bring them to a place where you don't have to be worried about the influence. Where you can trust that they have good, godly influences. There's not a person in this room that I ever worry about my children talking to. I'm encouraged when I see you all talking to my children. You know what? You're helping my wife and I. And if we can be a help to your children, I hope that we are. I don't have to worry. I don't have to tell them, listen. Okay, if you want to talk to Brother John, and if you want to talk to Brother Randy, that's fine. But if Denny's there, or if Brother Jim's there, you just stay on the other side of the church. I don't have to do that. I don't ever have to worry. I don't have to get in the car and say, "All right, what'd he say? Come on, let's hear it." Look, you don't have to defrag your kids when you take them out of this place. You find a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church with people of one mind, one accord, trying to do the same thing, trying to raise their kids the same way, you will help each other. You won't have to be worried. So have you brought your kids to Jesus? I want to ask you this question. If your children are saved, notice here it says, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. These disciples stood in the way. And even though their intentions were, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing, they thought this wasn't proper, they thought maybe it would bother Jesus, you know, it's not that they hated these children, didn't want to get those kids out of here. It's not that. I believe the disciples just thought, this isn't proper that these kids come in, you know, because kids can be rambunctious and they can, you know, they can run and jump, and maybe we should keep them back. We don't know what their motives were. I don't see any reason to think that they had bad motives in keeping the kids back. They probably thought they were doing the right thing, but nonetheless, they were hindering these children from getting to Christ. Have you hindered your unsaved child from getting to Christ? If your children are saved, have you hindered your children from growing in the Lord and being who He wants them to be? Colossians chapter 3, real quick. Colossians chapter 3. So I've brought my kids to Christ. My kids are saved. Okay, now. Now that they're growing, are you helping in that or are you hindering in that? You say, "I helped to bring them to Christ and they got saved." Good. Now that they're there, are you helping them to grow or are you hindering their growth? Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." The reason I'm going back here is I want to point something out here. A lot of men that don't know anything about the Bible like to quote that. But they don't like to quote verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." I point that out for this reason. A lot of parents like to throw this one up in their kids' face. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." I had verses like that thrown up to me all the time when I was a kid. When I would act up, and I would do wrong. And it's still in the Bible, and it's good, and it's true, but I never heard verse 21 quoted, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now, we want to say, "Wives, submit to your husbands." No, we're not all that crazy on saying, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And we want to say, "Kids, you obey your parents because that's what God says to do." And we're not too crazy about saying, "Fathers, quit making it hard for your kids to obey God." How am I making it hard for my kids to obey God? By not showing them the right walk. By not teaching them. By not nurturing. By not helping them grow. Look at Look what it says. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Wives ought to submit to their husbands, and husbands ought to be the kind of husband that she has no problem submitting to. We both have a responsibility. Children ought to obey their parents, and parents ought to be good parents. Maybe your child's saved, but maybe you're hindering their growth in the Lord now that they're saved. It didn't end once they got saved. And church, can I say this? I said earlier that it's good to be in a good church and have your kids there and have them learning. That will not get the job done by itself. It is your responsibility. This church is to help you in raising your child, but that is your responsibility that begins at home. Don't bring your child to a church and expect the church to lead your child spiritually. You are to lead your child spiritually at home. It is your responsibility. And then you come to church, and the church reiterates what you've been teaching them all week and strengthens that. Okay? We prop each other up on that. So I'll close with this question. When you're gone, if you have children, if you have children in your life, maybe they're not yours, maybe they're nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever it is. When you're gone, your children or the children that you had influence over, when you're gone, what will they be able to say about you and what you did for them? Will your child be able to say, well, every year, Mom and Dad took us to the lake. Every summer, when we were growing up, Mom and Dad took us to Disney or Holiday World. Or will your children be able to say, my father, my mother brought me to Jesus. My parents taught me to fear God and taught me His Word and told me to get in that Word and help me understand that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. I like to do fun things with my kids. You do too. There's nothing wrong with that. And when I'm gone, if they sit around and say, hey, you remember when Mom and Dad took us here, and did, that's fine. But I pray that the number one thing that they'll remember is, I pray that even when they get done giving all that list of things that we did and places we went on, my prayer is that they'll say, but the most important thing was Mom and Dad brought us to Christ. That's all that's going to matter. They're going to stand before God, and He is not going to care. He's not going to ask how many trips to Disneyland, how many trips to Holiday World, how many trips to the lake, how many ball games did Dad attend. It's either going to be, well done, my good and faithful servant, or it's going to be, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. That's all that matters. So are we leading our children to Christ? Tonight we'll look at this passage again, and I want to look at it specifically in, are we leading lost people to Christ? Or are we, even as Christians, are we, with our traditions and opinions, are we making it hard for lost people to get saved? I believe that application can be made here as well. Let's pray, and then we'll close with number 490.